From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. Great to see you. We got a great show for you today. As always, we got indie music pioneer Mac McCann from Superchunk. He'll be by later to answer our questions. But first, this has been such an amazing week at NPR with the parties and the celebrations and the tear-filled speeches of congratulations. For the first time ever, a broadcast of All Things Considered was used as background music for a love scene. It's true. It happened Tuesday night, the CBS drama, The Good Wife. Not to be too graphic about it, but all the elements of romance were there. The man, the woman, the steamy bathroom, followed by a report on the expirations of the Bush tax cuts. It was hot. It's so nice to know that NPR news reports have the same effect on other people as it does on us. Whatever you're inspired to do by the sound of our voices, take a break from it and give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Vanessa from Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, Vanessa, how are things in Columbus?
Pretty good.
Capital of Ohio. What do you do there?
I am an administrative aide at the Ohio State House. I promise it sounds fancier than it is. I'm basically a secretary.
I was about to say, it actually doesn't sound that fancy, but there you are. Different state houses have different reputations. The Illinois State House is an asylum. What is the Ohio State House?
Well, Ohio State House was built by prisoners.
There you are. Vanessa, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's a comedian and a past winner of Last Comic Standing, Mr. Alonzo Bowden, right there.
Thank you. Hello. Hi, Vanessa.
Next is the woman behind the advice column Ask Amy and the author of the memoir The Mighty Queens of Freeville, Ms. Amy Dickinson.
Hey, Vanessa.
Finally, it's a humorist and the author most recently of Hail, Hail, Euphoria, The Marx Brothers in Duck Soup, Mr. Roy Blunt Jr. Hey.
Hey, Vanessa.
Hi, Roy.
You're going to play Who's Carl this time, Vanessa. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, of course, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Here is your first quote.
I wake up some mornings hating me too.
That was a moment of honesty from somebody who, having inspired many others to hate him in the White House and in Washington, left his job this week. Who was it?
That was Rahm Emanuel.
It was Rahm Emanuel, yes. Tired of jockeying a desk in some unimportant government job, White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel is coming back to Chicago to run for mayor. There are some obstacles to that goal. First, as a relatively young man, Mr. Emanuel doesn't know enough dead people, an important demographic in Chicago. Also, and this is true, the guy he sublet his Chicago home to will not move out to let Rahm come back. This is not an auspicious start to his campaign. How is Chicago going to respect him if he can't even arrange the murder of his own tenant? Of course, he hopes to do for Chicago what he did for Obama. After 2 years, half the country will hate it, and 30% of Americans will think it's a Muslim country.
What kind of name is Rahm? Is that short for something? Romper or something?
Well, I was waiting to see his birth certificate.
Yeah. Yeah, in Chicago, people were like, I don't know, he was born in Iowa. I'm pretty sure of it. Have you heard that? We wouldn't like that.
So is Chicago, you know, is Chicago ready for this, like, ballet dancing? I don't know, he's a little bit fancy.
He's a little bit fancy.
Don't you think he's a little fancy?
Well, I think it's time Chicago upgraded their criminals.
That's true.
Bring a little culture to the table. A little ballet and corruption just makes it nicer for everyone.
His going away party at the White House was awkward. People shared memories like, I remember the time he was coming down the hall and I ducked into the bathroom until he was gone. That was a good day.
I remember the time he didn't hit me.
Yes. All right, Vanessa, here you go. Here is your next quote.
stop whining.
That was Vice President Joe Biden trying to inspire and encourage what dispirited group?
Oh, I haven't the slightest idea.
Well, it's a big group. He's part of it, and they're very depressed. And they've been whining. And they're about to be really badly beaten by the other guys.
Oh, okay, the Democrats.
Yeah, the Democrats. There you go. Oh, that's the clue.
Oh, geez. I love that there are hints in this show.
The White House has decided to tell Democrats to get excited after giving up on their first strategy, doing exciting things. The president has been offering the same message this week as his vice president, only in slightly nicer language. They're like, good cop, embarrassing cop. In an interview with Rolling Stone, for example, the president started jabbing his finger and told liberals they better get excited about the midterms. He also said that he was going to pull this damn White House over if you don't put your Yes We Can t-shirts back on right this minute.
I just wonder, like, how laid back do you have to be before Barack Obama says you're too laid back? Ooh,
that's
I
true.
I mean, he is the most easygoing, seemingly. You know, when he tells you to get excited, that just means maybe stand up.
Right. Well, I mean, his argument, I mean, he's been going around, I don't know if you've seen this, it's really kind of interesting. He's been going around doing these backyard appearances in homes around the country and listening to people talk, and almost inevitably, the people are all upset with him. They say, I'm your supporter, but things are going really badly, and why should I continue to support you? And his argument is basically, look, he's like a boyfriend, right, who takes you for granted. And when you say you want to see other people, he's like, well, really? I mean, because the guys out there, they're just awful. I mean, honestly, I'm as good as you're going to get. Because all the nice politicians are married or gay. Sometimes both.
I think these backyard chats have been, they seem a little tepid to me.
Really?
Yeah. Like, they always seem, like the pictures I've seen, they're usually a couple of empty chairs. Like, that's not good. Yeah.
I think when you've fallen from 200,000 people in Europe rallying behind you to, you can't fill a backyard.
Yeah.
Something's gone like, horribly wrong.
The advanced people are like, do you have any neighbors? Do you have any kids
right.
who have to listen to you? Do you have anybody?
Hey, I'm working.
Are there any prisoners around here we can force to sit in your backyard? Yeah. All right, Vanessa, your last quote is one of many from a remarkable career.
I thought of myself as a little bit of Grace Kelly and a little bit of my mother.
That was somebody explaining how he played a man dressed as a woman in the classic movie Some Like It Hot. He died this week at the age of 85. Who?
Oh, Tony Curtis.
Yeah, Tony Curtis. He was born Bernie Schwartz in New York and went to Hollywood where they changed his name and made him a star. He starred in Some Like It Hot, Sweet Smell of Success, many other great movies. His first wife out there was the gorgeous Janet Leigh, and he left her for a younger woman, which he proceeded to do four more times. As he once said, quote, I wouldn't be seen dead with a woman old enough to be my wife, unquote. Curtis was often made fun of during his career for his thick New York accent, which sometimes didn't fit his character, as in the, you know, Roman costume drama Spartacus, in which he played I am Antoninus, singer of songs.
Singer of songs.
He never minded, he never changed, though.
But what was that famous line? Yonder,
lies the castle of my father, which he never actually said. That was like his play it against him. He never really said it. It would have been fun to see him, you know, just go after some other famous roles, like Luke, I am your father. The truth, you can't handle the truth.
Go ahead, make my day.
Carl, how did Vanessa do in our quiz?
Vanessa was perfect, Peter. Three correct answers. So, Vanessa, you win our prize.
Yay! Mm-hmm.
Well done, Vanessa. Congratulations, and thanks for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's what I got. You turn the heat on me. Some like it hot.
Right now, panel, of course, it's time for you to answer some questions about the week's news. Amy, a number of studies show that texting while driving is quite dangerous. Well, this week we read about something that actually increases the number of accidents involving texting. What?
Laws against texting.
Yes.
I know.
This is how it works. According to findings from the Highway Loss Data Institute, crashes increased in states with bans. Here's why. You live in a state that bans texting while driving, you don't stop texting. No. Instead of holding your phone up by the wheel,
so you can keep at least one eye on the road, you hold it down in your lap where the cops can't see it. You're all surreptitious. It works. The cops just see people staring into their own laps, driving up onto the sidewalk.
I was talking on my cell phone once, and I passed a cop, and I, right in front of him, threw the phone in the back seat, like woo-hoo! Like, you couldn't see that. I mean, yeah.
I managed to beat the system by getting an iPhone with AT&T, and there's no service.
Yeah, there you go. That'll show up.
You know, story about the man that was driving along, and he was talking to his iPhone, and the police car saw him, and he threw the phone back behind him and said to his wife, "Now just swear to him that I was not talking on the phone. You got to back me up. You're my wife. You got to back me up." So the cop pulled him over and came over, and the man said, "What were you doing there?" And he said, "Officer, I don't even have a phone. I want to ask my wife." And his wife said, "Officer, I've been married to him for 30 years. And if there's one thing I've learned, is never argue with him when he's drunk."
Let me know you're home alone. Freaky with the camera phone. Hit you with a text. Got me on your favorite ringtone. Lately, that's your favorite song.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
This is Michael from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Hey, how are things in Chattanooga?
Very good, very good.
What do you do there?
I'm halfway retired. I used to be editor of the Chattanooga Times here on the editorial page.
Oh, really?
Yeah, now I do as little as possible.
I understand. So do you miss not being the editorial page editor anymore, telling people your opinions?
No, it hasn't stopped me so far. I just for the editor occasionally.
Really, I see. Well, Michael, welcome to the show. You're going to play the game in which you have to figure out what's true and what's false. Carl, what is Mike's topic?
Well, there goes our TripAdvisor rating.
This week we read about a hotel that would make the demonic resort in The Shining seem like a Holiday Inn. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about accommodations that were less than adequate. Choose the true story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. Ready to play?
Sure.
First, let's hear from Roy Blunt, Jr.
Welcome to the beautiful new Vidara Hotel of Las Vegas. Please take time during your stay to stretch out beside our luxurious swimming pool. Be advised, however, that as you sunbathe, you may suddenly be hit by a death ray. Hit by a what? A death ray. What? Oh, all right, a death ray. That's what people, including the Vidara's staff, are calling the phenomenon that has caused recent poolsiders to leap up suddenly and run for cover, fanning their sizzling flesh and smelling their scorched hair. When they venture back to where they were lounging, they find that their drink cup has melted. Here's what happens. The highly reflective concave surface of the hotel's facade collects and intensifies the sun's rays so as to create what hotel management prefers to call a hot spot or solar convergence, which hits the pool area around noon. "I couldn't imagine why my head was burning," said a recent victim. "My first thought was, Jesus, they destroyed the ozone layer." This week, MGM Resorts International, which owns the Vidara, said it was working with the building's designers to tone the hot spot down.
The death ray at the new Vidara Resort in Las Vegas. Your next story of a bad stay comes from Alonzo Bowden.
Married life starts early. When newlyweds Danny and Lisa Bromley checked into Hotel Above, a new trendy New York boutique hotel, the clerk looked at the computer screen and exclaimed, "Congratulations, you have won our fantastic do-it-yourself getaway weekend." Well, it sounded good because it started with the word congratulations, and it also had the word fantastic in it. But it was not all it was cracked up to be. What Danny and Lisa didn't know is that one day before, the owner of the hotel had fired the entire cleaning staff after being accused of hiring undocumented workers, and everyone who checked in since had been told, "Congratulations, you won our do-it-yourself getaway weekend." They began to suspect something was up when the concierge brought them the Hotel Above fantastic gift basket, which contained his and hers yellow rubber gloves and a jug of fantastic all-purpose cleaner. Said Danny, it didn't stop there. They actually gave us quarters to buy our own pillow chocolates from the vending machine. And the outfit they gave my wife wasn't so much a sexy French maid outfit as just a maid outfit. Hotel above is now facing legal action from several angry guests, or as the hotel insists on calling them in legal proceedings, fantastic do-it-yourself getaway weekend winners.
Doing it yourself, because there's nobody else there to do it at a hotel. Your last story of uncomfortable lodgings comes from Amy Dickinson.
The Redmont Inn in Darlington, Connecticut welcomes pets, and that's why it's a favorite stop for dog owners visiting the New York Kennel Club show. They bring their Dobermans, Sharpeys, and Labradoodles to lounge in the hotel's lobby and swim in the inn's special doggy pool. But now dog owners are accusing the inn's manager of negligence after he threw a party that really went to the dogs. While human guests were enjoying canapes in the lobby, an employee let out the dogs, and they did what these dogs were bred to do, which is to breed. The bad news is that this event quickly turned into a doggy version of a tailhook convention. One guest looked out and saw his border collie, Mr. Dashwood, set upon by a standard poodle, and is now suing the hotel and accusing the poodle of sexual assault. The good news, though, is that several more new dog breeds may have been established. Among them, the Doberman poodle mix, called a Doberdoodle, and a Beagle Corgi combination, the Borgie. Oh.
An unwanted dog orgy at a hotel. That was from Amy Dickinson. From Roy Blunt Jr., we heard about the death raid, a new hotel in Las Vegas. And from Alonzo Bowden, we heard about a hotel that had fired its staff and congratulated, in fact, its guests on being able to take care of themselves. Which of these is the real story of a less than perfect hotel stay?
None of them seem like they would be untrue, but I'm going to go with the first one, the death ray.
I'm going to go with the death ray.
Yeah.
Because anything else can happen to you in Las Vegas, why not that? We spoke to somebody who actually suffered from this problem.
I was sitting out at the Vidara, and within 30 seconds, the top of my head was burning, and I could smell my hair.
That was William Pintus of Chicago. His hair, as you heard, was singed by the death ray. Good news for Vidara, Mr. Pintus is a personal injury lawyer. Well, that'll work out fine. It also worked out really well for you, Mike, because you, in fact, were correct. You picked the correct story, Roy's story of the Vidara death ray. You have won our prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well done. Let's hear it for Mike. Yes.
Thank you very much.
And now the game where we invite on interesting people and try to keep them interested. It's called Not My Job. As founding frontman of the rock band Superchunk and a co-founder of North Carolina's Merge Records, Mac McCann is as close as indie rock gets to having a mogul. For 20 years, Merge has been launching the careers of bands like Arcade Fire, The Magnetic Fields, and Spoon. Superchunk's new record, Majesty Shredding, is out now. Mac McCann, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. So I got to ask you, you've had this remarkable career in music with your band Superchunk and with Merge Records, and the first thing I got to ask you is, what kind of name for a band is Superchunk?
Mm-hmm. Well, we were originally named Chunk after our first drummer. His name was Chuck, but the phone book had him listed as Chunk, and so we thought that was kind of a good name. And it turns out there actually was already a Chunk, and when it came time to put out our first record, they denied us use of the name, so. My mom suggested that we add the superlative to the beginning. Mm.
Right. You're not just a chunk, you're a super chunk.
Super.
Exactly.
That'll, wow. That puts chunk in their place, doesn't it?
It did.
In addition to being a musician, you're a record executive, of course. Do you have any feelings about what makes a good band name?
It's really difficult. Believe me, we didn't just go straight to Superchunk from Chunk. We tried to come up with something altogether different, and it's you're trying to find something that doesn't imply too much to people so they don't get an idea about what you sound like ahead of time.
Right.
But it's not so vague that they just don't care to ever find out.
Right. It's like the bland would be bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you've actually been an indie band for 20 years.
We started in 1989, and we were Chunk until, early 1990.
How do you keep it fresh if you're an indie band 20 years on? I mean, how do you still be youthful and rebellious when you're neither?
You're right, we are neither. In our case, we take 9 years off in between records.
Yeah, well, that'll help.
So that keeps it pretty fresh.
Now, one of the things, of course, you did in your time off is you founded Merge Records, and you made it into one of the biggest labels in the indie world, in the whole music world. Arcade Fire, huge band, one of your bands.
We actually started the label at the same time as we started the band, but luckily around the time that we were all getting tired of being on tour, the label started to grow at a pretty great rate, and we ended up working, like you said, with Arcade Fire and Spoon and a ton of great bands. And so the label has really kind of accelerated as Superchunk's been taking time off.
How is it possible, though, to be both the artist and a suit? Do you ever, like, get upset with yourself because you don't understand what you're trying to do?
We've come close to dropping ourselves.
Really? You're touring now with a new record, 20 years after you started. You're a family man now, right?
Yes.
Is that weird, having young kids and touring as a rock musician?
It is weird. I mean, it certainly makes it harder to be away from home, and it's hard to tell just how interested they are in the whole thing. My wife brought the two kids to New York when we played a couple shows there recently, and we played in a record store during the daytime, and my wife brought them to the record store, which was an acoustic event, and out of the corner of my eye, I can just see my 3-year-old son and my 7-year-old daughter kind of hanging on my wife. And in the pauses between songs, I just hear, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." I want to pay attention, but I don't want to pay too much attention, you know, forget the words to the song.
Sure, I understand. So. Did they shout at requests like, "Do Old MacDonald"?
They do have their favorites.
I'm sure they do.
Have their favorites.
Some music fans, especially indie fans, can be a little snobby about music. Do you have any, like, musical guilty pleasures, though? You know, like Katy Perry, early Michael Bolton?
I'll reserve comment on Michael Bolton, but yeah. I feel pretty good about all the stuff that I like. I feel like if I like it, then I shouldn't feel guilty about it, I guess.
Right.
You know, frankly, in the car, I tend to listen to the oldies station.
Sure.
But oldies now, just to make me feel old, include songs from when I was, you know, 20 years old.
Yeah.
So
arguably, oldies could include Superchunk at this point.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think they'd include Chunk, but not Superchunk. Yeah.
You did actually. Superchunk actually covered a Destiny's Child song, "Say My Name."
We did. And
yes.
See, you know, I actually did take umbrage to the name of that album that song appeared on, because it referred to these songs that these bands were covering, like us, as being guilty pleasures. Which to me, like I said, they had great songs, and I actually got to meet Beyonce one time, and I told her that we covered a Destiny's Child song.
And what did she say?
She said, "Really?" And went back to talking to Jay-Z.
Well, Mac McCann, we're delighted to have you with us. We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
You're Smooth. Real Smooth.
Since you are in the band Super Chunk, we decided to ask you about something that's not chunky at all, but smooth. And who is smoother than smooth jazz saxophone player Kenny G?
Wow.
Yes. We got three questions about the musician who was born Kenneth Bruce Gorelick. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl's voice on their home voicemail. Carl, who is Mac McCann playing for?
Mac is playing for Joseph Becker of Appleton, Wisconsin.
Ready to play?
I'm ready.
Kenny G, are you a fan?
I don't know anything about Kenny G, so you picked a great, picked a great subject.
Kenny G, in addition to his millions of albums sold, has another distinction in the music world. What is it? A, he is the inventor of a new version of a saxophone called a Kennyphone. B, he holds the world record for longest continuous note ever played without passing out. C, he created the only record clinically proven by medical testing to be an effective treatment for anxiety disorder.
I've... I've got to go with the Kenny phone on this one.
The Kenny phone. He invented the Kenny phone. You play it, you sound just like him.
Yeah.
No, it's actually B, using circular breathing.
Wow.
He held an E-flat for 45 minutes.
Oh, my
what?
God.
He did. He set the world record.
I saw that.
Oh, you
it's,
breathe in
it's
through
amazing.
Your nose and
you breathe
as
in through
you
your nose and you breathe in with your nose as you blow.
Circular breathing, and he can do it.
You watched
for
that
long...
for 45 minutes?
No, I watched for 30 seconds.
I would really only want to see the last few seconds of that, you know, honestly.
Well, I just saw the first few seconds and said, I'll trust him on the other 44 minutes.
Yeah. That may be 45 minutes better passed than listening to an actual Kenny G.
There you go. Somewhere in one of his mansions, he just felt a twinge.
Smackdown.
I think he just bought a small independent record label in North Carolina and shut it down.
All right, here's your next question. Kenny G is very popular in China. In fact, he is a particular place in Chinese culture. What is it? A breed of cattle in China is called the Kenny Xiao because its mooing sounds like his saxophone. B, buses, train systems, and stores play his music to tell everybody to go home. Or C, something really, really sweet like an oversugared candy is called Kenny Sa.
Oh, my gosh. All so ridiculous. I'm going to go with the candy.
You're going to go with the candy. Kenny Sa. Oh, that's so sweet. It's like Kenny G. We'll call it Kenny Sa. That's your choice?
Wow. The cow is so much worse, but I'm going to go. I'll go with the cow.
You're going to go with a cow. Because this cow went, mm-hmm. And some Chinese guy said, that's just like Kenny G.
Huh. I guess they play the music to send people home.
That's right. I like a man who can take a hint. I really do. In China, especially in Shanghai, stores, buses, and other public facilities play his beloved song, Going Home, when they want people to go home.
Isn't that...
I don't know.
Wow.
I've never heard Kenny G in my life. I have no idea. All right. But he's very popular. Last question. Back in 2005, Kenny G had a particularly prestigious command performance. What was it? A, he was hired to serenade a flock of endangered whooping cranes. B, he was hired to play lullabies to help the children of the King of Sweden to get to sleep. Or C, he played background music for the diners at a $10 million bat mitzvah.
Wow, the bat mitzvah sounds pretty good.
It does? Yes, it's the bat mitzvah. Yes, very good. Kenny G was actually just the opening act at the infamous $10 million bat mitzvah, which also included entertainment from Steven Tyler of Aerosmith and 50 Cent. The military contractor who arranged that bat mitzvah, his daughter, David Brooks, was just convicted of gross financial fraud, by the way. Carl, how did Mac McCann do in our quiz?
Mac had two correct answers, Peter. That's good enough to win for Joseph Becker.
Well done. Before we let you go, Mac, last question. When it comes to peanut butter, are you a chunky or a creamy guy?
I go with the chunky.
There you are, as you should. Right. Mac McCann is lead singer and guitarist for the band Superchunk. He's also co-owner of Merge Records. Mac, thank you so much for joining us. Mac
thank
McCann,
so
everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Coming up, fresh from the White House, Carl introduces our new limericist, Rhyme Emmanuel. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But before we move on to questions for you, panel, we'd like to correct an error. On last week's show, we did a story about how Senator Russ Feingold of Wisconsin had done a campaign ad which showed him in front of his home in the Badger State, the idea being that he hadn't gone all Washington despite his years in the Senate. Now, we had read that the ad was green screened, that he wasn't really there, that he didn't go to Wisconsin, and we reported that on our show. We were wrong. He was there. He did not simulate anything, and we would like to apologize for saying that. Now, we wanted to apologize in person, right to his face, but Senator Feingold is a busy man. He's a senator. And so since he could not be here, we've got the next best thing, simulated Senator Russ Feingold. So, simulated Senator Feingold, thank you so much for joining us.
Don't thank me. I'm honored to be here. You are an inspiration to me in everything I do. Do you know that song, When Beneath My Wings?
Yeah, I do know that song, yes.
I wish that song had not already been written, so I could write it about you.
That's really nice of you to say, Senator.
If there were a state called Peter, I would move there and be their senator instead. Actually, you know what? I'm going to change the name of Wisconsin to Peterconson. I have that power.
This is getting a little embarrassing. I'm so glad you accept our apology. I was afraid you'd be mad, but really, our sincere apologies about our mistake last week.
Apology accepted. Whenever you are in Peterconson, look me up.
Thank you, simulated Senator Feingold. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for coming on our show. Now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roy, this week, a new organization started making specially branded body lotion, makeup, and yoga mats just for women. Who? I should say they're an old organization, but they've never been in this business before. Been around for a while. Now they're getting into the business of making branded products for women.
Branded, not just any branded products, but lotions and yoga.
Yeah,
mats.
But the thing is that it has their brand on it, which is what's unusual.
Playboy.
No. It's an organization you know well.
I know this organization
you do.
Well.
You've written about them.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Actually, you've got it. The NFL.
The NFL
is doing it. Yeah, we do. On Monday, the NFL, the National Football League, launched a big push to sell stuff to women. The campaign is called Fit for You, or alternatively, Please, Please Forget About Ben Roethlisberger. Steelers jeans they're selling. Bears body scrub. It does seem like they just got a bunch of men together and tried to think of what they think women like. Without consulting any actual woman.
I would think with the NFL's track record with women, they would just try to stay away from this area.
Yeah.
I mean, after Roethlisberger and after the reporter in the Jets locker room, isn't this kind of like Michael Vick pet products?
You just a little bit.
You just don't go there.
Yeah. Amy, it seems like every week we report on a breakthrough in the field of robotics, from robots that take the trash out to robots that feel emotions. Well, now scientists say they've created a robot that can also do what?
That's the most general question. Like, what kind of question is that?
I'll give you a hint. They call it the William Tell 2000.
It can shoot an arrow to an apple?
No, it can shoot an arrow, though. It hasn't hit the apple yet, but it can fire a bow and arrow. Scientists at the Italian Institute of Technology have created a deceptively cute and childlike robot named iCub that teaches itself to hit a target with a bow and arrow. Huh. Come on, people!
It's got a sharp point.
Yeah! It's like this. Every time they make a breakthrough in robotics, we make the same jokes. The robots are going to wake up and use these powers to enslave the human race. Stop! Why not just give it a ray gun and show it all four Terminator movies? Just do it! Get it over with!
You're right. It's going in agonizing little steps,
isn't it? Here's an atomic weapon and a DVD of The Matrix. We'll be huddled over here. Just do what you want.
I'm just thinking, what scientist was looking at archers and saying, you know, that's really tiring.
Sure.
I'm sure we can get a robot to cover that for you. How lazy are we becoming as a society when the five archers left say, we're giving it up?
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can always click the Contact Us link at our website. That's waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago's Loop, and also next week's show in New York City at Carnegie Hall. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Holly from Easton, Massachusetts.
Hey, how are things in Easton?
A little bit warmer than usual for this time of year.
Yeah, yeah. How's everybody in Boston dealing with the fact that the Red Sox are out of it?
I think they're not dealing particularly well.
Really? Basically, you turn on sports radio, you just hear constant weeping.
Yeah, yeah.
Holly, welcome to our show. Carl Castle right now is going to read you three news-related limericks. Of course, he will not say the last word or phrase. That is your job. Do that. Two times out of three, you'll be a winner. Ready to go?
Okay.
Here's your first limerick.
The crime rate for street signs is soaring. Fun names like Green Acres, they're scoring. But thieves will not steal if there's no appeal. So let's make our street signs more...
boring.
Right! The trouble with living on a street with a name like Boone's Farm or Mary Jane Lane is that people are immature and they steal the signs. Quote, we're losing something like 550 signs a year to theft, said a Georgia county manager, Luther Smart, who is no stranger to funny names himself. In order to address the problem, officials have started encasing the signs in fiberglass, but people in Georgia have shotguns. So officials have another solution. Quote, boring names. Streets like First, Second, Third Street. But, you know, we suggest they go all the way. Harry Reid Drive.
Mm.
PBS Boulevard.
Oh, man.
Here is your next limerick.
I've been out in space over a year. There's no DUIs ever out here. The jet's at full throttle. Hand me a cold bottle. I'm flying and drinking a...
beer.
Right. Space is pretty cool so far. But it's had one major downside. No beer up there. The carbonation in beer makes it tough to drink. But that's about to change. An Australian company called Astronauts for Hire is sending astronauts up in an airplane to simulate weightlessness. They're trying to try out a custom-made space beer. Researchers say the test will provide essential data on not only how the beer goes down, but also how it comes back up. They've discovered, by the way, that the helmet with the beer holders and the straws does not work.
What I think is great is these highly trained scientists / pilots become astronauts, the peak of the aeronautic world. And what do you need? Beer?
Yeah.
Beer.
They've been asking for that for years.
Up here.
Beer.
They'll invent a robot that drinks beer for you.
All right, here is your last limerick.
It's not that our stars are aligned, but to do what she says, I'm resigned. I fulfill all her wishes and do all the dishes. With this ring, she took over my...
mind.
Right. We've long been aware of that annoying thing couples do where they finish each other's sentences and predict each other's bad stories at dinner parties. But new research from Sydney University this time actually confirms that some couples have a sort of sixth sense whereby their brains work in a shared, quote, altered state. And this would be awesome in a sci-fi movie, but chances are real-life couples are just using this amazing power to bicker more efficiently. It's like, does this dress make me look... you bastard! How could you say that? I didn't say it. You were going to!
So what you're saying is that a woman can get mad at a man before he's done anything.
That's exactly right.
And yet scientists needed money to study
apparently,
this.
Apparently.
They couldn't just open the door and ask, hey, buddy.
Hey, you.
Guy comes home, wife slaps him. He says, yeah, you know, I was going to deserve that. So. Carl, how did Holly do on our quiz?
Well, Holly had three correct answers, Peter, so I'll be doing the message on her voicemail.
Terrific. Congratulations, Holly.
Well, thank you.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Roy Blunt Jr. and Amy Dickinson each has 3 points. Alonzo Bowden has 2.
All right. Alonzo, you're in third place, so you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill-in-the-blank. To replace Rahm Emanuel, President Obama named longtime aide Peter Rouse as his new blank.
White House Chief of Staff.
Right. AIG announced it had reached a deal to repay the billions of dollars it received during the blank.
bailout.
Right. The Postal Regulatory Commission said no to a proposed rate hike that would have increased the price of a blank to 46 cents.
Stamp.
Right. After being briefly hospitalized in Cleveland for a stomach ailment, blank was released on Thursday.
Jimmy Carter.
Right. A pair of teenagers who stole a car in Colorado Springs were easily caught because blank.
It was a police car?
No, they didn't know how to drive a stick shift. Bon Jovi, the Beastie Boys, and Neil Diamond were among the musicians nominated this year for induction into the blank.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right. The show Dancing with the Stars showed extra footage to prove that crowds were not, in fact, booing a blank.
Sarah Palin.
Right. A police officer in California is under investigation for arresting a young man for the crime of blanking.
Arresting a young man for the crime of crying?
No, for the crime of dating his daughter.
Oh.
In full uniform, the officer went to the boy's home, slapped the cuffs on him, and told him he was under arrest, saying, "A cop's daughter is not somebody you mess around with. You're stupid." Turns out the stupid one was the officer, though, because the boy's parents were taping it on video the whole time. Carl, how did Alonzo do on our quiz?
Alonzo had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and Alonzo has the lead.
That was really well done, Alonzo.
Thank you, Peter.
Well done.
Good round.
All right. We have flipped a coin. Amy has elected to go second. So here we go, Amy. Fill in the blank. With temperatures reaching 113 degrees, a heat wave in blank broke the thermometer.
Los Angeles?
Yes. President Obama won no fans among kids this week when he suggested lengthening the blank.
School year?
Right. There were far fewer casualties than originally feared as a result of this week's landslide in blank.
Oh, Mexico?
Right. The Senate unanimously passed a bill that would require television companies to broadcast blanks at the same volume as other programming.
Ads?
Right. The winning design for Taiwan's Protect Copyright poster design contest was disqualified after judges discovered blank.
It was a copy of another
copyrighted poster, yes. Gloria Stewart, the actress who became the oldest Academy Award nominee for her performance in the movie Blank, died this week at 100 years
old. Titanic.
Yes, a stone carver, a typographer, and a television producer were among the recipients of this year's blank grants.
MacArthur.
Right. The owner of a Denver strip club revealed she sends her employees to be, quote, trained by blank.
Wait, the owner of a Denver strip club sends her employees to be trained by SEALs.
No, to be trained by Mickey Mouse.
Oh, I was so close.
In a revealing interview, Debbie Matthews of Shotgun Willie's strip club in Denver says customer service at her place is so good because her managers are trained at Disney.
Wait a minute. Whoa. The name of the place is Shotgun Willie's?
Shotgun Willie's strip club.
Would you go to a place called Shotgun Willie's? It just sounds dangerous.
If there were naked ladies inside, men would go into a club called Moldy Anthrax. Men. Men would go into a club called Your Armed Ex-Wife. What are you talking about? They don't notice the name. Okay. Is what I'm saying. Carl, how did Amy do in our quiz?
Amy had 7 correct answers for 14 more points. She now has 17 points, and Amy has taken the lead.
Well done. That was a commanding performance, Amy. So how many, then, does Roy need to win? I'm guessing a lot.
7 to tie.
Oh, my gosh.
8 to win outright.
Here we go, Roy. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. Authorities announced that they had thwarted a Mumbai-style terror plot in blank.
In Germany.
Yeah, in Germany, all over Europe, in fact. This week, AirTran Airlines was purchased by rival airline blank.
Oh, God, I know this. Southwest.
Right. On Tuesday, North Korea announced that the youngest son of blank had been promoted to general.
Kim Jong-il. His name is Kim Jong-un.
Yep, that's true. After it was reported by multiple news outlets, the UN was forced to announce that they had not appointed an ambassador for blank.
Appointed an ambassador for public relations.
No, for aliens. A study found that 1 in 3 British homeowners have gotten into heated arguments with their neighbors over blank.
Dogs.
They're trash cans. Oh. Jimmy Heselden, the owner of the Segway company, died this week when he blanked.
He backed his Segway off a cliff.
Right. Ben and Jerry's ice cream company agreed this week to drop the phrase blank from its labels.
Yummy.
No. All natural things. Oh. At the Commonwealth Games, could it be getting a lot more exciting now that organizers have hired blank to help with security?
The Hell's Angels.
No. 40 monkeys. The large gray langur monkeys will be patrolling the athlete's village, keeping an eye out for light-fingered rhesus monkeys. The Reese's monkeys have been known to break into buildings and steal equipment, but the monkeys won't be working alone. After one athlete found a live cobra in his room, this is true, organizers immediately hired 50 snake charmers to patrol the grounds.
Can't somebody get a robot to do all of those jobs?
A robot with a bow. Carl, did Roy do well enough to win?
Roy needed at least 7 to tie, but Roy had just 4 correct answers. God. So with 17 points, Amy Dickinson is this week's
Well
champion.
Done. Well done, Amy. In just a minute, we are going to ask our panelists to predict what interesting situation we'll next hear NPR News as background music for. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the American Public Transportation Association, committed to getting people to work and putting people to work. More information at publictransportation.org. The Kauffman Foundation, educating entrepreneurs about how to start and grow businesses through Kauffman Fast Track at fasttrack.org. And LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer Philip Godica, writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Blythe Haga. Our web guru, Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac here at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, we've already known that NPR News does the background for a steamy romance scene. Where are we next going to hear it? Amy Dickinson.
NASCAR has tapped Terry Gross to call the next Indy 500.
Alonzo Bowden.
Lindsay Lohan will be listening to NPR in her iPod as she strolls into rehab.
And Roy Blunt Jr.
They'll be playing it on Fox News, very low, very soft.
Well, if any of that happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Amy Dickinson, Alonzo Bowden, Roy Blunt Jr. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am so grateful you did. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week in New York City. This is NPR.